David Javerbaum, the former head writer of The Daily Show, is in town tonight doing a live show at church in the Fenway. We taped an interview with him recently, and Meghna, you know that thing that we don't tell people about that sometimes happens after we goof up a recording?
Goof up? No, I would have no idea what you're talking about. No. When we re-record stuff?
Yeah, when we re-record stuff. And that's what I had to do with David, and it didn't quite go as planned. So let's listen. So I'm just going to say hello to you, and if you don't mind responding as if we're just saying hello for the first time. Here we go. David Javerbaum joins us now. Hello, David.
Screw you, buddy. Oh, I screwed that up, didn't I? I get nervous and then I say the wrong thing. Jeez.
So anyway, before that, the interview did go pretty well. David Javerbaum wrote for The Daily Show from 1999 to 2010. He's out with a new book. It's called The Last Testament, A Memoir by God, which he co-wrote with the Almighty, which led me to the obvious first question. What was that like working with God?
It's hard for me to discuss that, frankly, because he's in the room right now.
Oh, I see.
He wanted to update his message, and one of the things he's probably weakest at is a sense of humor. And if you've been tracking some of his work for the last 6,000 years, you know that mirth is not his strong suit. So knowing that I had a comedy background and that I was looking for work, I was approached by my agent asking whether I was interested in working with God on essentially what I thought at the time would be punch-up duty, you know, just making some of the jokes funnier.
But you really had to sort of come up with new material for him. I mean, it was more than just punching up his lines, right?
I did have to do some editorial work, grammatical work. His first language is Aramaic. English is not his best language. And I need to point out there are no pictures of Muhammad in the book of Muhammad. There are no daguerreotypes. There are no silhouettes. There are no cave paintings. There is absolutely no visual representation of Muhammad in the book. I was like, please don't put that in. He wanted to. He wanted to put a picture in and a whole spiel. And I said, you know what? But at the end of the day, you know, I'm the one in trouble, not you. Right. And so as a favor to me, he declined.
Well, that was pretty big of him. We deal with a lot of big themes in this memoir. For example, the theme of pain and suffering, which is often sort of hard to explain. We learn, for example, why God inflicted the potato famine on Ireland. Can we just talk about that?
Sure. He apologizes to the people of Ireland, who he has great respect for. He was not afflicting or mad at Ireland. He was mad at the potatoes.
He was mad at the potatoes. Do we know why?
All he says is, they know why.
The potatoes know why.
But to answer the sort of the broader question about it, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? He actually directly answers that question in the book. Bad things happen to good people to balance out the good things that happen to bad people.
I see. Well, I'm curious, David, your humor takes on a lot of sort of sacred ideas. Where do you draw the line? I mean, were there ideas, for example, that you were thought were funny, but you just had to keep out of this book?
Well, one of the many things I learned working at The Daily Show as a writer is that you just go after something that you believe is a truth. If I'm writing a joke about something that I believe illustrates an underlying truth, at least to me, then I think all bets are off. If it's not done gratuitously, if it's done to make a point.
Mm. And let me ask you about that work with Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. As a journalist, I got to say, I'm really interested in this idea. It's a comedy show, of course. It identifies itself as a fake news show. And yet, in many ways, it's more on top of the news than many so-called real news shows and provides an awful lot of people with an important perspective about what's going on out there. Was that ever the original intent?
No.
Or did that evolved, right?
That was never it still is not the intent. The intent is to be funny while making a point about the news. And the fact that other people turn to us for their news is entirely a function of other institutions' failure and not our success. For example, the technique we often use that's often cited of going back to the archives and playing a clip of somebody saying something contradictory or hypocritical. That's not a comedic technique. That's a journalistic technique. There's no reason why we should be the only ones doing that. It's crazy. Hmm. It's insane. But I believe that most news organizations are so entrenched in the status quo that they have no real desire to make any actual change.
I want to ask you about some other writing you did. You wrote some great lyrics to the opening of the 65th annual Tony Awards. It was called Broadway, It's Not Just for Gays Anymore. And here's host Neil Patrick Harris singing a song that you wrote.
Like a man, there's so much to discover with your different gendered lover. It's not just for gays, the gays and the Jews and cousins in from out of town you have to amuse, and the sad embittered malcontents who write the reviews, and also foreign tourists and the groups of senior citizens and well-to-do suburbanites and liberal intellectuals, though that group is really only Jews and homosexuals. I've lost my train of thought. Oh yes, it's not just for gays anymore.
That is so, so funny. What kind of reaction have you gotten from that? It's just superb.
That's one of the most positive experiences, creative, I've ever had in my life. From working with Neil Patrick Harris, whose contribution to that lyric, he didn't write any of the lyric, but his suggestions as to what could be improved upon or expanded upon made it 10 times better than what it was on the first draft.
He just took it on so fully.
That clip you just played is an example of that, because he suggested, why don't we have a little part where you get into more detail about the kind of people who go see Broadway shows.
Mm.
And so I said, great idea. And then I wrote that, and that worked out really well. That's a perfect example of the kind of thing that a smart, candy performer like Neil can bring. And then he goes out and just performs the absolute hell out of it in a way that is just could not have been done any better.
Hmm. David, I wanted to ask you one more question that's sort of a locally based question. I understand you went to Harvard and you were a member of the Harvard Lampoon. I'm so interested to hear about that experience, because over the years, the Lampoon has produced so many funny people that have contributed so much. What is it about that that is such a cooker of funny people?
Well, I think one thing is that it was sort of a humor magazine that was a driven humor magazine before humor magazines were really popular.
Mm.
And so it sort of had primacy. And then a small group of really incredibly brilliant people like Henry Beard and Doug Kenny, you know, took it and made it national. And then that really brought it into the spotlight. And so then it became not just a casual thing with people, but a real deliberate conscious conduit to a career in comedy. And when I was on, there were tons of people who I was on with who are now having great careers in L.A. I'm doing okay in New York.
David Jabberbaum, what a pleasure this has been. Thank you so much. And thank you for The Last Testament, a memoir by God.
Thank you. Can I mention one more thing, please?
Of course you can.
God also maintains a Twitter account.
He does.
In conjunction with this book. It's called The Tweet of God. And my involvement in that is limited. All I do is I write them and I send them.
You're sort of helping him with this newfangled technology.
The first time he tried to use Twitter, he actually tried to use a chisel on a tablet.
I see.
It was a learning curve for him.
Right. David Jabberbaum appears in Boston at 7 tonight at, appropriately enough, church, in a conversation with comedian Lauren Antler. The show is called God Walks Into a Bar. Details at RadioBoston.org.
And before we go today, some comments about our first conversation today regarding health insurance, contraception, and the Boston Archdiocese.
PHK writes on RadioBoston.org, this is similar to the war protesters who didn't want to pay taxes that would go to support war. It's clear that you can be compelled to pay taxes for things that you oppose on moral grounds.
And on our Facebook page, Christopher Patsky writes, out of sheer curiosity, what is the biblical reference that prohibits contraception?
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Keep your comments coming at RadioBoston.org and join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.